See, Johnny likes it a whole lot better, Bobby, when you insert her name into that song.
Well, Steve, I was about to say to you, let's just change it. Johnny, 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 do you love me?
I'm so easy. Hi, Bobby, how are you doing?
Just fine, kids. Oh, how you doing, my favorite great. Friends?
Oh,
we're doing good.
We're so thrilled that you're coming back to Chicago this Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys are going to be able to show up and so I can squeeze both of you, because it's been a long time.
You know, and Sunday, we should tell everybody it's your birthday, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's Saturday's the birthday, and, you know, I'm trying to forget those things.
Oh, come on.
You're going to be 22 this year? You're going to be about 22 this year, I think?
Thank you very much, Steve.
It's Sunday at Navy Pier, which is a fabulous place to perform. You're going to be
yeah.
With
it's the best, without a doubt. And everybody there should, just enjoy the fact that bring the family. It's a good family mm-hmm. show. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
let the kids see their mom just to act foolish. You know, yeah, that'll be great.
Why not?
That's right. Mickey Dolenz with you on the Teen Idol
Mickey
Tour.
Mickey Dolenz and Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits.
Yeah,
is going to be there at the Teen Idol Tour. Which, you know, they're calling it the Teen Idol Tour, which makes me feel like I should probably be walking on stage, you know, kind of like hobbling or something.
No. As I understand it, you walk on stage occasionally wearing black leather pants.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, we've seen the pictures on your website, which
right.
is very cool.
Well, maybe you can settle an argument. I was talking with a friend about the fact that Mickey Dolenz is with you on this tour as opposed to Davy Jones, and we got into the whole business of, well, if you loved Bobby Sherman, you had to love the Monkees. Is it true that you were actually on the Monkees TV show at one time?
Yes, as a matter of fact, just before, I went on a little bit of a tour just after that, but before I did Here Come the Brides, I did an episode of The Monkees where I played the character Frankie Catalina, which was a spinoff of the Beach movies of Frankie Avalon, you know, I guess where we can get that mm-hmm. coming from, and it was a real spoof, and it was... It was fun. It was a fun thing, but that's how I met all the guys from the Monkees, and actually, one of the producers was Ward Sylvester, who was it turned out to be my manager for 30 some odd years, who was the producer of that show that till this day mm-hmm. we still do business.
That is really neat. Here Come the Brides was not your first TV stint, though. Your first long term. Prior to that, of course, it was with Shindig, right?
Yeah, can anybody remember that, Johnny?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I was glued to Shindig every week, and one of the things I loved about that show, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if I ever asked you about this, I don't think you lip-synced anything on that. Wasn't that all done live?
That was all live. Well, I'll be honest with you, Steve, what had happened is there was a circumstance where some of the long shots, we did have to pre-record some stuff because they didn't have wireless microphones at that particular point, so... some of the stuff they did have to pre-record, but most of it was all live stuff. It wasn't, it wasn't a Milli Vanilli kind of circumstance. And it was a forerunner of MTV as far as videos, music videos, and all that kind of stuff. It was the best. And Jack Good, was the forerunner of that whole program that to this day is, I think, they still send them out on videos mm-hmm. to this day. So it's still working.
Yeah, Rhino has a collection of most of the episodes of Shindig, and Jack Good, for anybody who doesn't know, legendary producer who certainly, along with Shindig, over in Great Britain, was responsible for most of Great Britain's best early rock and roll TV shows, including many that the Beatles were featured on.
The Beatles, of course, and mm-hmm. I think it was a show, it was called Oh Boy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, okay, I think that's correct, yeah, and at this particular point, it was, Jack Good is still a legend. I don't know where he is, I think... From what I understood, he's passed away. I don't know, but I'd love to find out where if he's still existing. I'd love to be able to say thank you very much for the opportunity, because he was definitely the a launching pad for my career.
And am I correct? The background, the backup band, the Shindugs, that were people like James Burton and Billy Preston that came out of that group.
James Burton, Delaney Bramlett.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
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 Uh-huh. Okay, and let's see, who else was there? Was Joey? He didn't go on beyond that, but Preston was part of the Shindig band.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Shindogs were like I think it was a four member group. They you know, they were kind of there for a while, and Chuck Blackwell, I think, was the drummer, as a matter of fact. But I can't think Joey. I can't remember Joey's last name. But yeah, they were hot for the fact that it was a TV hit. I mean, because they had that exposure, but they never had a record hit. That's really what it came down to.
Well, now, speaking of musicians, did you ever actually play a musical instrument on stage?
Oh yeah, when I did Shindig, I played drums and
That's
played guitar.
What I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, on two occasions.
Did you play many, many instruments, right?
Well, not that I'm a master of none, but I play many. But you know, basically drums and brass instruments and guitar. I was okay at more with drums than I was anything else. But you know, I could squeak by. But you know, please don't let me solo.
So, at some point when you started making records, was there a conscious decision that we'll just put you out there with the microphone and like that, as opposed to, you know, having you hide behind a set of drums
you
or
know,
something?
I'll be honest with you, Johnny. I don't. I think what came about was with Shindig. It was Jack Good's decision that I should be out front, kind of like just kind of like standing up there, kind of wiggling around, kind of thing. There was never a decision to say, okay, let's make him be an instrumentalist, or let him be the drummer, or the guitar player, or whatever. It's just get out there and just sing. And that was pretty much what I did from, you know, and that way I've never been connected with an instrument, so to speak, from, you know, as far as musically is concerned, from that point forward.
I'm going to make one of the weirdest comparisons you have ever heard.
Well, this ought to be good.
My take on you from the Shindig days was that you just seemed, while I'm sure you must have had your nerves, but I'm sure that when you were on stage, you just seemed so relaxed, almost as relaxed in a different way as Perry Como was. You just seemed like you were enjoying yourself and having a good time, and certainly you were conscious of camera angles and where you were and all that stuff. You just seemed, though, like you were in your environment and you were real comfortable with it.
Well, that's very astute of you, because the fact is I was taught by most of the cameramen, because I made friends with them. They told me, you know, they kind of like, in a sense, as this was Shindig days, they kind of let me know where the cameras were going to be and who was going on next, even before they switched to that camera, so that I could make that transition. I think because we liked each other, and I just got comfortable with it, and I did get at a point where I was at ease. And the only thing I knew how to do was sing, but I had no idea what I was involved in, and it was the technical people, the cameramen and all that I was so immersed into the technical end of it, because I wanted to learn how to work the cameras and all that stuff. So I was always talking to them. They would give me these little secrets, and they would give these little cues that I found myself saying, "I know what's happening next," and where no one else really cared. And I think that made a difference about, it might have come off very relaxed and at ease, because the fact is I had a clue where it was going.
Was there a point in your career, if you can remember one, where it hit you, oh my God, people really like me? Was it Shindig? Was it Here Come the Brides? Was it the first hit records? Or what was it when you looked around and you said, oops, something's going on here?
I probably think it was when I first talked to you guys. I was in love with you.
That's right. And I was a blithering idiot.
No. I'll be honest with you. I think it's when I first was doing Here Come the Brides, that when I first started doing concerts at that particular point, when the fans were coming out by the thousands, and were just, you know, screaming rather than listening, and they didn't care what I was doing. I mean I think I've told you this before. I could have lip synced to the Supremes records. They couldn't care less. They were just so happy to be there, and I realized something was happening there, and I'll never understand it, other than the fact that I was very happy about it, and they've stuck with me through thick and thin, and still today. They're at the concerts and they're having a great time, and it, you know what? I've been blessed by fans that I cannot tell you, including you, Johnny, thank you very much, that have that seem to understand what it's all about. We like to go back to that time, which was very calm and sane and safe and innocent, and it was the best of times. And we relive it every time we get together.
Do you recall being asked to do something that, in retrospect, you realize was really strange for the sake of image? Someone saying to you, you know, behind the scenes, Bobby, you should wear your hair this way, or Bobby, you should do this, or the girls will like it if you, not tell a bold-faced lie, but when you're being interviewed by Tiger Beat, if you say it this way and not that way.
Well, certainly back then, I would say yes. There was a factor that, yes, the audience that I had at that particular point, Johnny, was very young and impressionable, mm-hmm. and you could have said anything that could have persuaded them to think in a different way that they should have thought. So you had to be very careful, and I was very cognizant. I was very much brought up with a family that was, God-fearing and law and order and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I had to be careful. And I do think that if I had overstepped my power, if that be the case, I probably could have lost not so much the fans, but the parents. Mm-hmm. At that particular point, that they say, don't listen to this guy. You can't buy his records because he's advocating drugs, sex, or whatever the case
right,
is.
Right.
And it could have been a real difficult problem. So I just kept it very straight and narrow and did my best to, you know, kind of keep it as simple and as entertaining as I could. And to this day, tried to live up to those kind of standards.
I still have Tiger Beat and 16 magazines with you on the cover. I'm serious. And
they're worth a fortune.
I know. I clearly recall the first thing that, and I know you've heard this zillions of times, but the first thing that I would do when I would get an interview with you is I would scan to see for girls' names. You know, because I was going to be in a blue funk if there was a girl's name mentioned there. You know, I'm dating so-and-so, or they're trying to put me together with so-and-so, or I'm thinking about marriage. And nowadays, we have a 17-year-old goddaughter, and she's so into NSYNC, and I see it all over again. Oh, Justin, what's he doing? Oh, you know, yeah. I think he looked twice at Britney Spears yesterday.
Isn't it? And it's so incredible, because today the Internet is such an instant kind of thing that anybody can get any kind of information instantly.
Yeah.
Back then, it was the Tiger Beats. The Internet was the Tiger Beats and the Faves and the 16 magazine. That was the only way that the fans could communicate. There really wasn't anything else. And now it's instantaneous. The world has shrunk, unfortunately, I will say this, because the fact that it's so overwhelmingly instantaneous mm-hmm. that you can't keep up with what the input is. And
you really
some
can't.
Of it is pretty darn awful.
You can't keep control of it either. So
no,
that's
there is
scary.
No control.
Yeah. It's your name and your life, and yet you're looking and saying, well, wait a minute, I didn't do that or say that. Or,
you know, and I'll be honest with you, being a paramedic as well as a cop, you know, mm-hmm. It's a very different world, and I see it, because still performing is one thing. I'm out there and seeing my fans and their families. My fans are bringing their kids and their families, and they're singing along with it, and it's a wonderful love-in. It's just terrific, and you know, it couldn't be better. But there's other factors when I go out there doing the job as a medic, as a police officer, and all that stuff. I see another part of it that I sit back and say, I scratch my head and say, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, how can it be so diverse of the fulcrum here, where life is so much this way and life is so much that way?
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's scary, but the point is that, you know, that's what you're entertainers. Both of you are entertainers, and you give the best to your audience, the best you can possibly do. And the other stuff you have no control over, you know, that's it.
Can I ask you to expand on that just a little bit? Do
sure.
you think that the record companies today bear any of the responsibility? Do you think at some point the record companies should say, hold it, now
yes.
think about what you're doing?
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think there's a point in reference to where you get to a license of saying, what are we doing, especially because if it's open-ended, you don't know who's hearing it. You know, who are we reaching? I mean, what are we trying to prove and what's to be accomplished? even if it's innuendos, it's enough to where you can, especially young people that are, can be impressionable to a reference of one thing or another, and say, you know, hey, look at Columbine and all that stuff. And who knows what was the inspiration of that whole? What was the seed that started the whole thing off? Who knows? You can't be careful enough. And yes, there's a responsibility to everything that you do and everything that I do, everything I say, et cetera. You got to get to a point where everybody has to be responsible. We're all parents. Anybody that's older than anybody else is responsible. We become the, in a sense, the responsible party.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Speaking of parents, if I could ask you to tell them, I love this story. You as a medic, delivering a baby, and what happened? You were recognized by the woman who looked up? And
well, actually, she didn't recognize me, Johnny. But
I like that part of it better, though.
Well, what it came down to is that it was a sidewalk delivery, and she was a Spanish-speaking lady, very, very young. She was about 15, as a matter of fact, 15 or 16 years old. It was her first delivery. She didn't have any prenatal care, and I'm delivering. They didn't know what was happening. She was scared to death, and this was my fifth delivery, in respects to it being sidewalk delivery kind of thing.
An emergency.
Yeah, emergency. And next thing I know is that the baby's ready, and out it comes. And, you know, I do all the necessary stuff. I suction and all that kind of stuff. The baby starts crying even before it's born, practically, and does his external rotation. Out it comes. Beautiful little baby girl. Put it to mommy and all that stuff. I'm waiting what's called third stage of delivery. I won't go into any more other than the fact is that she manages to get across to my partner, who's kind of like sitting there or on his knees turning green because it was his first delivery. And she managed to get across to him because she spoke no English. And I speak muy poquito Espanol, and he's, nothing. And she managed to get across to him, what was my name? And he figured it out, and he said, oh, it's Robert. Well, after a couple of minutes, I'm still waiting for third stage to present, and she gets my attention and points to her brand new baby girl and says, Roberta. And I, whoa, that's pretty cool. At that point, I'd say, thank God my partner didn't say Sherman.
Yes. Officer Sherman.
Yeah. To this day, there's a little girl running around San Fernando Valley named Roberta.
Oh, that's a neat story.
Yeah, there's some real perks to this when it works.
Well, I'm sure people do recognize you, though, even in uniform.
Oh, in or out of uniform, yes.
Yeah, do they don't I know you from somewhere?
It does, yeah. A lot of times, especially, well, certainly in one place or another, they recognize me just because I am someplace, where they probably would recognize me, but mostly in uniform or whatever the case is, they generally they put it together, especially when I'm, if I'm working with somebody either in a medical situation or whatever the case is, it seems to take their mind off their stress and pain or whatever. So I've turned into a human placebo. It seems to work where they're feeling pretty good and they're okay. And if in some cases when I'm working as an officer, if I have to hook them up, sometimes they'll turn around and say, hey, look who's hooking me up. It's
Bob
Sherman.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, every time we talk to you, we get, I don't know how many emails from people saying, you got to ask him, is he going to do any new recording? So are you going to do any new recording?
Yes, Steve, I am. As a matter of fact, we've got some stuff that's just pretty much hot off the press. We were about to put out something very close now, but the point is that they just put out, in fact, I don't have it in front of me, but it's the very best of Bobby Sherman. They just put out now. It didn't include a couple of the new stuff that I wanted to put out. So we are putting together some stuff that is going to be out. It's been done. We just have to recompute that. But there's no doubt about it.
I wish you could see the look on Johnny's face right now.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a couple of things called, it's one thing, Johnny, it's called solitaire, which is just a knockout. I like it. A lot of people don't say, well, the only reason they don't like it in respects because they don't associate it with me, but mm-hmm. it's a knockout song.
Oh, good.
It'd be one heck of a video, and we're putting it together in that content. It's just a really good song, and if it wasn't, if I changed my name to something else, it would be a good song, and it would probably get the recognition. But you know, be it Bobby Sherman, people say, "Well, it's not Bobby Sherman," but it's a very, very good song.
You almost find yourself in the weird position that Donny Osmond found himself in many years ago when there was a New York radio station that started playing his new record but didn't tell their audience who it was.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that, but I can understand that.
And the audience was loving it. And
I believe that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. I think it's at this particular point, the cart in front of the horse is probably better than, you know, than normal.
It's funny. In a weird way, your fame works against you.
I believe that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well,
at this point, that's not to deny the beautiful people that have stayed with me through thick and thin, and that includes both of you, because you've been friends for a very long time, and I do appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I've been on duty today, or this evening, as a matter of fact, and I said, I've got to call them. So I got off duty. I took what's called an early code 7 so I can make the call to you guys. The bottom line is, because the fact is, we go back a long way, but you can understand it. I think that there's a lot of people that wouldn't understand how difficult it is to regroup and try to make yourself to refame yourself, so to speak.
Well, I'm gonna ask you, and I probably shouldn't ask you this on the air, but I will anyway.
Go ahead.
When the new album comes out, can we get you back on the air and get a copy of it, and we'll do an album release party for you on the air?
Oh, I'd love it.
Okay.
So would I.
Love it.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Actually, with a couple of tunes we've already got with it, and we've done one video on one of them. When I get the other one done with that, I'll fly out there and see you guys.
Wonderful.
Well, you tell your record company that we will just have us a bang up record release. It will be a hoot. It really
will. I can't tell you how much in respects to you and your listeners, because I get so much mail every time I do your show. The amount of mail that I get, email and all that stuff that comes back, is extraordinary. So you're hitting a lot of ears. I don't even think you guys even know. It comes from everywhere, and it's amazing. You guys are powerhouses, and I I've always respected that. But more importantly, is that you guys stayed with me from the very beginning, even when it was kind of cold, and it's gotten hot, and I really appreciate it. I really do.
Well, Sunday night, Navy Pier, 7 o'clock, the Teen Idol Tour continues. Peter Noon, Mickey Dolenz, and Bobby Sherman. Thank you so much for your
time. Will you guys be there, please?
You know, absolutely.
We're gonna, in fact, off the air, if we can, I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second, and if we could find out a way to hook up and let you know, and really meet this Sunday.
Yes.
I would love to do that.
Otherwise, I'm going to be one of the millions out there.
And I'm going to tell them, if there's one last thing I can say, is that please, and this is, I say this in concert, and I say it now, if you have gathered one thing about tonight's interview, let it be one thing, and it's simply this. Take the time to learn first aid and CPR. It saves lives. It really works. And that's very, very important. Home stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bobby,
take care.
Thanks a million.
God bless you.
Thanks.